Get the best experience of customer service and maintenance of your Rorick Advantage at the Service Center on West Liberty Avenue. Visit RorickHonda.com for all of your vehicle needs. And John, we start the Ajaga podcast
from right here, wherever here is, because this is our Golden Quill episode.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
I am Tyler Kennedy.
This is Antonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
So this is John and Rachel of the Jagoff Podcast. You can also listen to us on your Jagoff on Q, 7 to 10 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And we decided to do a little bit of a little retrospective podcast because back in the spring, we won 3 Golden Quill Awards. And explain to them what the Golden Quill Awards
is. It is like the Pulitzer Prize. It is the Academy Award. It is the epitome of journalism excellence in journalism. And the fact that, you know, audio journalism and podcasts are recognized now for outputting journalism and storytelling is just a testament in itself, right?
Yeah.
So we've submitted over the last couple of years. We've been finalists over the last couple of years. But this year, we got nods in four or five different podcasts in many different categories. And we won in 3 different.
Yeah.
What's
super cool is it's a jury of your peers. It's journalists. It's not a popularity contest. It's journalists who actually listen to the podcast episodes or read the articles, whatever it's about. And they judge whether it's Golden Quill worthy or not. And these particular ones were judged this year by the Los Angeles Press Club. So people that don't even understand the phrase you jag off. So it was super cool. So we thought, you know what? Let's just take a second here and replay some of those items that won us the Golden Quills.
And thank the people who were a part of it. So yeah, we're pretty excited for
Tracy,
that.
Monica, all the people that help us put the podcast together. We appreciate that. So the first one is going to be a Mother's Day podcast.
Well, it was a Mother's Day podcast, but it was a tribute to some ladies talking about the work-life balance. Pretty significant ladies in our city.
Shelley Duffy, Kelly Fry, and
Joan McSorley-Walls
from the McGee Women's Institute Foundation. So it was a good conversation. We had a little contest. As a matter of fact, if you listen to these interviews, there's a longer podcast that goes with them, and we'll put the links in for you. But the first one is, yes, this Mother's Day Zoom. Sitting next to me is someone who has, I've never seen anybody juggle work-life balance like Rachel. You know, we own this company. We do a lot of marketing work and PR work. And then we have the podcast. And then she has school board. And then she has kids that have to go to hockey games. And then another kid has to go to a hockey game on another side of the world. And
right,
you know, cook dinner, laundry, take care of parents, all these kind of things. And so, you know, it's always, when can I throw another apple in for you to juggle and take a bite of the apple? You know, that kind of thing. So I guess, Joan, we'll go back to you a little bit in that. Get each of your opinion, Joan, Shelley, Kelly, as far as how do you look at work-life balance? Do you find time to sit and take a minute or two to yourself, or does getting head deep into your work, like Rachel seems to do, that's her work-life balance, getting into the work. How do you guys, Joan, you first.
Interesting, because I was really relating to what Shelley was talking about. I just turned 50, right? And I've always had a pretty intense career in marketing and advertising. I mean, and sometimes I would laugh at the intensity of it. I'm like, my God, you'd think I'm saving lives here, but these are advertising emergencies every day, but it's very deadline oriented, right? So when you're chasing deadlines, it's triage every day of what's the most important thing and all the things that come lobbed over. But, you know, after I've been in startups, I've been in corporations, and now I'm kind of in a corporation. I'm in, you know, at McGee, because we're building something and we're really trying to raise awareness. It's almost like being in a startup because I've been assembling a team and things like that. But I have found that I decided that, you know, I have to just for my own self, take more time and say, you know what, there's a cutoff point. and the work is going to be there tomorrow. Nothing, the world isn't going to end because my world is actually my daughter, my boyfriend, my dogs, my, you know, that's the world that you got to keep yourself framed in. And, you know, you need to really, I do exercises like, you know, things like putting your hand on your heart to remind yourself and just saying some grounding things, things that I probably not, I would laugh at myself to say in my 20s or 30s that I'm putting my hand on my heart and grounding myself in gratitude. But you really need to do that and take the time to keep perspective. I pretty much survive by voice texting. I love voice texting. I have apps on my phone so that as I'm going to and fro, I can make most of my talk time in the car to just catch up with people verbally, because in the remote environment, you know, we're doing a lot of messaging and Teams calls, but I find that the days that I am commuting in, I lose that productivity time. So I try to make the most of it. So, but then, you know, again, just scheduling more time now to do fun things and take that time to have the balance, making exercise or even a 10-minute walk a priority, especially again, in the work at home environment, forcing yourself outside for just 10 minutes sometimes to take a break. So that's the way I try to do it, you know, music, those types of things, you know, podcasts, that those are all my escapes. TV, huge TV lover. Yeah. I mean, huge lover and analyzer of great TV shows. So I just escape to keep my mind off of all the other stuff, because there's a time at which you have to put it away, the work.
That's a good answer. I feel like you've, like, they can't answer because you gave all the right answers.
Yeah. Okay. See you guys. Wow. Bye.
Okay. Have a great Mother's Day.
Thanks a lot, Joan. You won. No, Shelley, Kelly, feel free to jump in. And she's right. You know, as women, we certainly understand, and as mothers, but what are your thoughts?
I'll just real quick. You know, it's funny. My one daughter is going to be 32. My other one is turning 30. So they have been big proponents of therapy. And so they said, Mom, you should try it. You need to go. And I did. And I have to tell you, it's something that it, you know, at first was a little uncomfortable for me because my generation didn't always do, but I'll tell you what, it has saved me in so many ways. And some of the advice that I have gotten is to, I get a little anxious. I wake up in the middle of the night with all the things and I have these checklists. In fact, Duffy Women, we just did a whole show on this. What keeps you up at night? And it's just like, boom, boom, boom. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to do tomorrow. This is what I have to do Thursday, Wednesday. You know, all these things are in your head. So I start my day now with a 10-minute meditation. And it's just a guided meditation, but I go downstairs. And as long as my dog isn't bothering me, it's wonderful because I get my head into the right space for the day. I mean, I drive sometimes an hour to work, work 9 hours, then drive home another hour, and then run errands, do whatever. So I need to put myself in the right space. When I had my own kids and they were younger and I was doing a million different things with radio, doing TV shows, all the different things that I was doing, I would just try to compartmentalize. So, okay, here's the first third of my day. This is how I'm going to handle that. Then I'm going to, you know, deal with the second third of my day. And then I'm going to deal with the last third. So I mentally have to get in the right space. And then at the end of the day, favorite part of my day, Joan, just like you, I'm a huge TV binger and I only do it at night. And Paul and I get into bed, we hold hands and we watch our favorite shows. So that's what totally calms me down, gets me ready for the entire craziness of the next day.
And I love that. What's the show, Shelley?
Oh my God, we watch everything. We just finished Ozark.
Oh, don't tell me. I have three
watching
more.
This. Oh, I'm not even going to get into it. But anyway, This Is Us. We watch. We just watched Anatomy of a Scandal. We watched The Flight Attendant. I mean, there are so many. We just keep hearing what, you know, the best ones are. I love True Life. True crime.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things I love. So we both do. So we watch a lot of that. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Kelly.
Take an answer that wasn't given. Good.
I'm kind of I'm like cherry picking some of all of those because
I look at calendars, and I'm a calendar person, and I have like four calendars. I have a Google calendar on my phone. I have a desktop calendar right here next to me. I have my huge, huge planner now. And I'm a visual person. So I need, you know, still I'm old school, you know, I still have like the huge big ones, and I need a book that opens up that I can see everything. And I'm always plotting, planning, and I stay up at night. You know, what keeps me up is I'll get a list by my bed with a pen. And I've always learned, they tell you, if you're thinking about stuff, roll over, write it down, because then you know it's going to be there when you wake up.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, because your mind is going, because you don't want to forget it. You don't want to forget it. And right now, you know, we do feel like our balance is whacked out, that we're just, you know, chickens with our heads cut off, because we're running around like crazy with starting up two businesses, trying to juggle everything with our kids and our family. So I do feel out of whack right now, but we're still managing. I don't think, let's see, we made it to the hospital this week. I got dinner on the table. I think everybody ate, they're bathed, and we're running two businesses, you know, semi-efficiently. So at the moment we're managing, we're treading water. We don't want it to be like this though. For you, this isn't sustainable for the long term, you know. And you know, Jason and I have weathered. We've been married 22 years, and we've weathered just craziness and always juggling when he used to deploy all the time, and I was here at home with the kids and Bennett. So we've absorbed a lot of that. But I know sometimes then you do have to pause. We've also had a lot of counseling and therapy too, because you get used to that adrenaline and that constant motion and busyness. And that's not healthy either, to do that all the time. You have to take that step back. So we know that just our time right now is a little bit whacked out and crazy, but this too will subside as we get better as managers. I use my time in the car. It's funny. Sometimes I'm connecting with people right now, because I use that time, because it really bothers me that I've got 30 minutes in the car and I can't be doing something. So sometimes I'm picking up the phone just to reconnect with people, and I'm calling when I'm in my car. Sometimes though, when I get in the car, you kind of self-evaluate. And if you see me, I'm a singer in the car. And if I'm rocking out on the parkway, you know, I don't care if you see me. Like, that's my time. Just get in there and blast my music, you know, put the windows down. And just, that's my therapy time, just to do what I need to do to get pumped up, you know, for the day, or to relieve stress. And I'm a big prayer, you know, I'm a big prayer, and taking time just to, you know, Lord, please help me through this day. Let me get through this day. What do I need to do? Give me wisdom, you know, not be smart, but wisdom in my choices and my steps. And then ultimately give me patience, because I'm a type A. And do I like to get stuff done? So give me patience,
that's tough,
and passion, you know, as I go through my days and my dealings, which gets back to love thy neighbor, which is exactly why we named our company, what we did. So we first and foremost convict ourselves in all that we do and all that our dealings, to love one another, no matter how angry, upset, or frustrated you are, you know, that should be first and foremost flowing out of us to set the tone. So it's a little bit of all of that right now, you know, just constant reminders, but we still need 36 hours in every day right now to get stuff done, because we're staying up late and I'm getting up super early most days, if not pulling 24 hours, right?
But it's so true. But what I'm hearing is, like, it all sort of happens with time, and the time, it stinks, because time heals, time helps, time creates, you know? And so it gives us that opportunity, like Shelly said, to kind of say, when I hit this age, you know, decade, I do look back and say, now I know this. And it sort of helps better you on what to expect, because you're right. You know, everybody can hone in on the things you said. I love this.
Yeah. I think I
have to add one more little funny thing, is that my girlfriends and I, that would spend a lot of time together back in our 20s, 30s, you know, we've reconnected. And one of my friends, we call her Betty, because she's a Betty. She can do it all. She has this amazing house. She's a great designer. She's a great cook. You know, she's all of this. And she decided that she was going to take this area of her house and install an indoor pool. And so she invites, and it's ambitious. Like a, I know, it's like a swimming lap pool and things. Oh, and uh-huh. We've started to have regular, we dubbed ourselves the SEAL team because she said, I want you to come over to my house and we can lay around like seals on rocks around my pool. And so now can we have come? A group text of the SEAL team.
Can we come?
Yeah. I'll invite you to the SEAL team meeting. So then they'll just be scheduled now. And that is one thing that I have to say is just because of the pandemic, just not being around people. I also like being at home, but really reconnecting with people, like you're talking about love thy neighbor, getting out of the community, being with people again has been really life-giving for me. Therapy, all of those things. And I really think it's great that all of us shared personally, you know, our experiences with therapy and the mental health side of the world, because I think I always been talking with people lately about this, including my therapist, you know, that the Industrial Revolution, right, it made people kind of physically lazy, and all of a sudden jogging and working out and exercising became a thing. It didn't used to be, because that was a part of everybody's day. I feel that mindfulness and mental health is really going, it's the time is now that everybody needs to just say, we need to take a breath, right? All of us together, and not be ashamed that, you know, therapy is a great tool in your healthcare toolbox, and it should be part of everything. And then, you know, people who've gone through breast cancer, like you, just the PTSD and the fear of that recurring, not to mention all the other things you have on your plate. I feel that from a healthcare perspective, so many of the patients and people I talk to, I'm always saying, are you addressing your mental health side of things and your own self-care?
Yeah. I needed that after so many years, and I'd never realized that, but between carrying Bennett and everything with my son, and then going through breast cancer, and then a lot of personal challenges, and even our marriage, you know, I mean, all those things. God. And it was big. I finally, after all those years, a couple of years ago, started to do it too. So sharing that, and now swinging a sledgehammer is really good. Let me tell you, when all else fails, take down a couple walls.
Maybe you need some volunteers.
You know,
you spray paint people's names on the wall so you can hit them with the sledgehammer. Oh,
they were up here, believe me.
You could probably get a lot of volunteer help by saying, hey, if you want to have an experience.
Well, there's therapy. There's places you can go.
Yes, right. Anger rooms.
Smash dishes.
You know? So we're kind of doing that for free, in our own houses.
That's your third business, Kelly. Yeah. There's your third business.
Come on in. That might be like under the umbrella. And I was shoveling rocks this week for landscaping, like just getting that physical exertion out. It's fantastic. I love it.
All right. So that was fun. And again, go back and listen to that podcast episode, because we did a little contest with everybody, which was super fun. So this next one is, we went a little behind the scenes, a lot behind the scenes of demolition derbying down.
I even got cellulitis.
Yes, you did. And the cool part is we learned a lot about the culture there. And thanks to Jason Sauer, who kind of teed us up perfectly for it all. But we got to meet this 16-year-old girl who is a star at Demolition Derbying, thanks to her dad and the legacy that her dad had created.
My name is McKenna Saylor. I drive the 26 car, and I'm 16 years old.
Okay, microphone drop. So, first of all, you're adorable, and your car is adorable. What made you want to start this?
My dad did pulling trucks growing up, so I didn't have a connection to this until, like, my dad's on the fair board, so I grew up watching the Stoneboro Demolition Derby. And I've always wanted to do it. And then finally, one day he gave in. And now we're here.
Oh, wow. So they call you a veteran. How many have you participated in?
Probably over 30 now. I've been running for 3 years.
And now, how do you feel the next day? Like, are you sore? Like, give us a little feel of what this is like. You're all pumped up.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, there's still adrenaline. Most of the time, I'm sore. Sometimes I'm not. It kind of depends on the derby, I guess. But mostly sore.
So what is the conversation like at school whenever your friends are like, I have soccer practice, and you're like, I have a demolition derby?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what I was just thinking. I was going to say a similar question. Like, you go, I'm 16. Hey, I'm going to go learn how to drive. You're like, I'm already driving.
Yeah.
And I can drive like a maniac if I want.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I'm like the only one, obviously. So, I mean, they all think it's cool, but like they're all going to basketball games and stuff, and I'm here.
And is, what is the commitment reason? Like, it's just your passion?
Yeah, I love it. I can't stop now.
And do you know how to fix cars as well? Like from a mechanical standpoint, engines?
Yeah, me and my dad do it all. We have obviously some help. Like, there's a bunch of guys, like the Derby community, if you have a problem, they're always willing to help. So obviously there's a ton of guys that have helped us along the years, but it's me and my dad that build these cars.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Isn't that wonderful?
So you build them. You build it together. Like, this is your kind of bonding time. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I just feel good.
Tina can do that.
That feels so good. These are the stories I hear all day when I'm spray painting. I meet a new person like every couple hours, and I've spray painted your car a few times.
Yeah.
How many trophies you got? Come on. Go ahead and brag. Tell them.
I think this year I have 8 or 9. Last year
really?
I won 9 or 10, somewhere in there.
Oh yes. God.
So what's your system? Is it to, you know, people think they're in Demolition Derby when they're at Kennywood in the scooters, the bumper cars. You know, they
hit
it. What is it, a backup into somebody, catch them by surprise?
Well, usually, like, every time you run, you have a game plan. But then as soon as you get on the track, it goes out the window.
Oh,
because
everybody
else has a different game plan. But, like, I try to drive backwards until it's down to, like, the top 5 or so, and then I'll start driving forwards just so I can save, like, the front end of my car.
Okay. And is it better to have a bigger
car? John's, like, asking for a friend.
Right. Is it better to have a bigger car? I would assume it takes, I don't know, Jason, either one of you can answer that. Like, you know, Josh has this big car here, but it seems like the bigger cars would fold a lot more and be a lot more drag.
There's a weight classes here, so it's very much this is youth compact class, then there's youth full size class.
That makes sense.
So
so
it's basically a weight class. So, and then once you get up into bigger cars, again, it's the amount of motors and protectors, and it gets into the real science of it. So basically, the engineers design these cars to crumple to keep you safe. And then engineers unengineer all that and make these cars never crumple again. There's a lot of science to it, which I'm very proud of this sport.
And there's got to be some kind of category. I'm sorry.
No, you do it.
There's got to be some kind of category where you have to be one of few 16-year-old girls. Right?
Yeah.
Participate.
There's not a lot of us. So there's a lot. There's some of us out there. Like, I know I run with the Jaegers, like Marissa and Haley. I run with them a lot. There's just not, like, I love seeing girls drive, but there's just not a lot of us.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, just out there putting it up with the boys.
One last technical question. What kind of tires? So if you're listening to the podcast, we're looking at the 26 car, which is McKenna. It says Dead Man number 3. There's a pumpkin on it. Then there's this weird tire on the back. It looks like a cement disc. So what is that?
That is a forklift tire that's actually cut in half. So it used to be, like, really wide, but we didn't like how heavy it was, so we cut them in half. So that's what that is.
Just like a forklift.
And people
tire.
Need to know, though, there is this whole inspection piece, right? So once that's done, then what happens?
Then you get your competition indicator, which is the flag on the corner. That way, when you're out there on the track, if your car's broke down or if you're out or something happens, you can take down your competition indicator, and then you're out. But I know you've never taken yours down. Yours is up all the time. You go for it. So, yeah, these cars are built a certain way, so we know that the back end of this car is going to probably drag around because it's a front-wheel drive car. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about, the science of how these cars is going to bend. So she's thinking, if I can speak for you, you're thinking, we survived the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of car do I got left? Then we survived the next 2 minutes. What kind of car do I got left?
Yeah, that's exactly what goes through
your head. And then you're like, I'm down to one tire. Do I have 4 tires under this thing? And then that's basically it. Like, can we continue to steer?
Yeah.
So you got to make a competition hit every 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can't just sit there
and kind of rope-a-dope it. Yeah.
No. The crowd will let you know if they're not into it.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll hear through your helmet, through the motor, the crowd will let you know that you're not participating.
Now, John, that does not mean amateurs who are just slightly going through, right?
Oh, okay. Those
not you.
You can't smash anybody going through the tech line.
Nope. We're not doing that.
Which we're about to do.
Yeah, McKenna, you are an amazing person to talk to. What would your question of the day? What would your walk-up song be?
Oh, I have no idea.
Come on. What would pump you up?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have one. Should I go to
you
Dad? Ask Dad.
Dad, what's
what
your
would
pump
be your
song?
Walk-up song? Oh, yeah.
Wow, there
really, we go.
There you go.
So we have to create one.
Yeah, you can create one.
Yeah, listen, this is usually a fail. I don't like when people don't answer the questions, but I'll let it go because you're badass.
But she's going to smash your car.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wait, does everybody find you online somewhere? Do you have an Instagram?
I think it's just McKenna Saylor on Instagram.
All right.
That's all.
All right, yeah. McKenna, that is awesome.
It's super ironic that right now we are in the heat of talking about the amazing Mutt Strut. And what the Mutt Strut is benefiting the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dog Project. So we talked to Jody, who is a recipient of a dog, Nick. And Nick has done everything from spot his diabetes episodes to spotting a heart attack. We had Jody on to talk about the significance of these service dogs and just how expensive it is, but just how much of an important role they play, especially here in Western PA. We have Jody Steinberger. He is with us today because he is a friend of my family, but he had reached out because he does an amazing event called Mutt Strut, which, again, if you saw our Toyota, Roark Toyota tailgate last week, or you've seen any of the posts, or you've listened to him on the radio, there's a really cool event happening coming up this weekend, and there's a reason that Nick's a part of it. So in case people live under rocks, Jody, give us the rundown of the event, and then we can talk about how it benefits folks like you.
Well, first of all, I do not put on Mutt Strut. I'm like a tiny,
but you're part of it.
Yes, I'm a part of it.
There's great sponsors, that's for sure.
Correct. It's a big community event. So the history of it shortly is Guardian Angels is 10 years old.
Right.
Mutt Strut is 7 years old. So pretty much from inception, PNC and Guardian Angels have been a team.
Right.
So what PNC does is a community event where we get corporate sponsors. We have an online auction. We raise money so that we can give these dogs to other veterans. And Nick has had enough.
Nick's tired. It's warm out here.
I've heard this before.
Yeah. To summarize what we learned from you, Jody, is that a dog like Nick is a special dog. We know that. But it takes $25,000 approximately to train a dog like Nick. And a gentleman of your age might go through three dogs.
Correct.
So $75,000 to $100,000 is what has to be spent to help one veteran like yourself.
Correct. So that's probably the biggest unknown that people don't realize is that in perpetuity with Guardian Angels, I will receive a dog as long as I am alive and I need the service dog and they have a dog that can meet my needs. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple factors that have to go in there. But it's definitely something people don't realize is I need this medical device, which is what Nick is, for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So since we've last talked, I had a heart attack 2 weeks ago.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys knew that or not. Again, Nick's 2-0 against heart attacks, undefeated.
So, well, now, what did Nick do when you had your heart attack?
Well, we were in the ER because my blood pressure wouldn't go down.
Okay.
Wasn't high, just wouldn't come down, which for my meds is very controlled. But we were in the ER, and while we were in the ER, he really got aggressive alerting. Now, he doesn't bark. He is trained not to bark. If he ever barks, like I said before, I'm dead, probably too late. But he gets really vocal and grunting, and I was sitting in the chair in the ER, and he just stayed on my chest. Which tells me there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. Finally got the blood results back from the ER, and sure enough, my troponin was 553.
Wow, yeah.
Should be 45.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was literally in the thrust of a full-blown heart attack because I was in a hospital. Well, you know, here I am.
Yeah, there you are. So, wow. And you also told us that, you know, some dogs are for PTSD, but Nick is different because he's medical service, because he also can sense a change in your sugar.
Blood sugar, blood pressure, PTSD, social anxiety. Nick pretty much runs the gamut. Mm.
So but they're all trained differently?
Correct.
Okay.
Every dog has a specialty.
Okay.
And Guardian Angels finds what that dog has a propensity to help with. They then find a veteran that has that need. They then take that dog's personality along with that veteran's personality and they match it.
Them.
And it's amazing when you meet the different dogs, when you come to Mutt Strut, you'll see the dog reflects the person reflects the dog. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what algorithm they have. Maybe Facebook should get on that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But
they might be a little better off. Huh?
Yeah, it's intense what they come up with. But that's why it's become my passion to make sure that I can get the word out that when I was getting Nick, I questioned, what is a dog going to do for me?
Sure.
That my handful of fruity pebbles I take every morning, every night can't do. And now I would rather go 3 days without my medication than 10 seconds without my dog.
And just for perspective, and if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Jody, and he represents actually the Mutt Strut. Good point, because it's through Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs who help folks like Jody. And put in perspective the amount of money needed and the reason for the fundraising for that Mutt Strut helps with.
My favorite statistic that I got when I met a Navy SEAL who was speaking on PTSD and transitioning from military life to civilian life, that southwestern Pennsylvania alone has the fourth largest veterans population.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
If you take in our population and consider that's the fourth largest in the country, that's a lot of veterans.
Right.
Just right here. When you talk about funds, it's a large amount of money. I mean, we would literally have to raise $5 to $10 million every year for 20-30 years to be able to service the veteran population. That's not to say every veteran needs a dog.
Right, right.
But I will tell you, I've never met a dog that doesn't need a veteran. These dogs live to do what they're doing. I don't, like, the leash is there to let you know I have control of Nick. I don't need that leash. Right. That's what he wants to do. And watching other veterans grow and thrive from where they were, once you see that in action, that's what will inspire you to be involved. That's what gets the community behind doing it. And when they come out to the Mutt Strut, they see these dogs in action. They get to see us as handlers and see our dogs, like right now. And I can tell I'm a little nervous. So he pops up and like, hey,
that
how you doing?
So cute. Yeah.
I give him a little rub.
It's so wrong to say, but I want a Nick.
But,
I don't need
but there's only one Nick.
I'm so very fortunate.
So the Mutt Strut is September 10th at Frick Park. And it starts early in the morning, and you know, to have some fun with it. It's a great way to dog shame, right? Because you can dress your dog, you can you should dress like your dog, and you should dress your dog
and
like
it's
you. And it's not a race, it's a walk, right?
It's really not letting, even a walk. We'll have a parade when they do the judging. Frizzy, as you know, will be one of our celebrity judges. So at one point we will have a strut where they'll walk around, but for the most part it's the vendors, our auction items will be live. The Steelers have given us some jerseys. The Pirates and Penguins, those will be on display so you can bid on them. So there's a lot of different things that go on. But, yes, there is a parade or a strut of dogs. And if you want to say it's dog shaming or one-upmanship, whatever way you want to go.
Yeah.
He's totally kidding when he says dog shaming.
No, I mean,
he means it like as a funny.
I'm a pet shamer.
Yeah.
Because when I had a dog, I would dress him in things.
Yeah.
You
like,
know, that
this
kind
is what
of,
we
you
do.
Know, so, and I would put it on Instagram, and the dog would be so happy to do it.
Well, it's usually me that dresses up, and Nick walks around with me.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
So, and where can they find information? Because the silent auction is online already.
It launches Tuesday.
Yeah, okay.
The online auction, which is national, will launch Tuesday, and they can go to Mutt Strut, the number 4servicedogs.com.
Okay.
Registration is free. It costs nothing. It's not where we make our money. We just want to know who you are, and from that, we can also get information from you. You can get information from us, but you can register to bid on those live auction items. The auction ends 8 p.m. on Saturday at the end of Mutt Strut. The actual Mutt Strut here in Pittsburgh is 9 to 1. There's a petting zoo, so bring your kids.
There you go.
There's face painting. Bring your kids. So it's a family
event.
There's
dogs. Bring your kids.
Yes, there are dogs.
There's a really good diner, the Friendship.
Oh, my gosh.
The Friendship
Deli. This is what I was telling Colin about.
Which is incredible. You should go.
After we left you, we went to that diner.
It's a Mac Miller place. But,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But before we let you go, though, there is a serious statistic that I don't recall exactly, so I'll let you do it, is that the number of veterans
22.
Committing suicide.
It's the magic number. You had that written down?
Had it in my show notes.
Get it tattooed, write it down, put it on your forehead. Yeah. That number needs to go down, not up.
Yeah.
But 22 veterans a day take their life to suicide. My favorite statistic with Guardian Angels, that number is zero when paired with a dog. Yeah.
Amazing. It gives me chills.
The divorce rate is zero when paired with these dogs. And I'm a prime example. My marriage was on the rocks. I was very suicidal in 2019. You know, long story short, without giving the whole story, I tried twice to commit suicide before I got Nick. And now I don't even have, if I get into those dark places, Nick just knows.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he knows.
Yeah. It's
That's
crazy.
The beauty of it,
that is the beauty
First,
of it.
First, we're glad you're still here and thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
And I really mean that. And I know that's actually a quick question. When people say thank you for your service, are you feeling the genuineness of that? Or is it, does it happen so much?
You know what I mean?
What's the protocol?
Take for granted someone thanking me for my service because I don't know why they're thanking me.
Okay.
Maybe they couldn't and wanted to, so they feel grateful someone else stepped in.
I got it.
You know, Nick was named after a World War II veteran, the person who donated Nick. He said, hey, I want my dad's legacy to go on.
Wow.
So we're hoping real soon that we can get Nick and his name to meet each other.
Yeah.
Just because I want him to see what his name is doing.
One more time, what's the website?
Muchstrut, the number 4, servicedogs.com.
Awesome.
So it was so fit and proper that the question of the day was going to be something else. And now we're saying, what number is that go-to number for you and why?
If I have to say 22, I'd like to say 0.
Yeah, right.
But 22 is that number. I mean, if we could just maintain that number, I think I'd be happy. But I want it to come down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it can. This is
absolutely
the slogan is the power to unleash.
If you can't go to Muchstrut, you can donate.
Yes,
absolutely.
And, you can at least go online. If you want something for your money, you could get in on the online.
It's a national campaign.
Yeah.
Don't think just because we're in Pittsburgh,
we're not limited to that. Virtual piece,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's virtual for that reason. Nice. We're hoping to touch all 50 states this year. We were 3 short last year. So if you know somebody in Alaska, Hawaii, or something, reach out because I think that was the 2 we were missing.
Yep. There you go.
And like we said, if there's anything that you want to know or any other ways to help, go to the website and inquire. Jody, thank you so much for being with us. And
thanks again, guys. You've been absolutely very gracious with your support.
So that's it. 3 Golden Quill Awards. We were super excited. Rachel couldn't attend the event, so I was texting her about, like, oh my God, we actually won. Rachel's a trained journalist, and it was super cool to get these because while I appreciate them because it's a jury of our peers, as we said earlier, it's a cool thing to be a journalist like Rachel who has been kind of seeking this your entire life, and here we can walk away with it.
It literally means the world, and we couldn't be more happy. It simply just fuels the fire for this year. Every time we go to a podcast, we're kind of looking like, is that quill worthy?
Right.
So
right.
We appreciate, again, everybody who makes it possible, from our sponsor, Rorik Honda, to Monica and Tracy for making it all happen, and to you guys for listening.
That's it. Rorik Honda. Remember, go to Rorik Honda for all your vehicle needs.